Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game. It's right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Wake up! Wake up! Mike Mulligan, David Haw.
Hey, Ron, look out for our guy, Dustin Rhodes. He's going to be out there with you guys today.
Absolutely. I'm looking forward to that. Yep, we've already talked. I'm looking forward to having him out to the ballpark today. Exposing myself to some of this Cub energy, right?
Yes.
He's the ultimate Cub fan. He's got it, and I can't wait to have him in the booth.
Great stuff, Coom. Have fun today.
We are guaranteed to have fun today with Big D manning the pregame show today.
Afternoon, Chicago. This is the Cubs pregame show. Boom. Who are some of the top pitchers that you faced? And when you were facing them, what kind of prep did you have to do to get ready to take them on?
Wow. Well, first of all, welcome to the booth. Great to have the great Dustin Rhodes here in our booth today. Thank you for pinch hitting for Z.
It's time for baseball. We've got Zach. We've got Ron. Pirates Cubs next right here on the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. A ton of thank yous to go around, first of all, to Mitch Rosen for allowing me the opportunity, along with Ryan Porth and Zach Zaidman and Ron Coomer for being a great host.
Start your mornings with Mully and Haw, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
And a special thank you to Dustin Rhodes for his fine work throughout the ball game today.
Thanks, D. We appreciate you coming in and working double duty today, buddy.
Let's go.
And Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. That was a lot of fun. Congratulations to Dustin for his performance on Friday. Mr. David, first text here on the screen says, morning, listened to Dustin on Friday, thought he was very good, sounded as competent as his production does every show.
Morning, Molly. Happy Monday. Yeah, that was a very solid effort on Friday. A job well done.
Yeah,
it was very great. Much a lot of fun. They went with it, and Dustin delivered. Big D, do we have to start calling you Big D?
No.
Big D. Big D delivers. Good job with Coom.
It was great.
The pregame, smooth. The postgame, very, you fit in 10 pounds in an 8-pound bag.
That's right.
It's a lot.
It's a tough putt
tip
there.
Tip of the cap to everybody who has tried to fill in for Zach. I mean, Zach makes it sound
effortless. And if I ever was to get the opportunity again, now I know what I'm getting myself into. There could have been a little more prep for that post. There was quite a bit. And as I was telling Mully right away, as he was being complimentary and very nice this morning, is that when you have a 2-1 game, you're trying to find things to talk about, right? Situations and plays and all the great sponsors we have on Cubs Radio.
And it's not a situation where he can bring any grievances he might have about the lineup or other things to the airways.
No. That would not be fitting.
Not in the postgame
not
show.
Not the time or place, no.
He had to wait till this morning.
Yes.
But Dustino, I thought that you did a really good job up and down the line all the way through. I was surprised you just didn't take a few phone calls.
Well, that was forbidden.
I know
that
it was
forbidden.
I know.
We were told several times.
What is
no phone calls unless there's a no hitter.
What is the line that we are constantly told to ask for forgiveness, not permission?
Yes.
Yes. Never ask for permission. Only ask for forgiveness.
Yes.
But I think it was wise to ask for permission there.
Yeah. It was. We learned that there was no phone calls going on.
It was fun.
It was great. Dustin, and you did a great job.
And Coom and Zach were really solid the rest of the weekend.
They
and
were
it was,
so
it was
great.
Great. It was a great time on Friday.
It was good to hear Matt back on the air.
Yeah.
It was great. The whole thing.
And the Cubs winning the series helps a lot, too.
Yeah. I mean,
for Cub fans.
Well, especially the tense nature of every one of those games. I think that, it was a little difficult. No complaints.
Oh, it was tight.
All that matters
was
is
tight.
You win.
Yeah.
But they didn't really blow anybody out.
And Friday was the difficult loss because
Right. Obviously
it was 2-1. They didn't manufacture any runs, but it was a moment. I mean, seeing Paul Skenes on Friday at Wrigley Field pitch as well as he did and Cade Horton matching him pitch for pitch was something you'll remember because it was one of those moments where you had the best right-hander in baseball, perhaps, and Cade Horton.
You had to be bursting with pride.
I was proud.
And you were very correct in your assessment of him. He did a great job. I texted you that.
You did. That was very nice. I think it's one of those, you just like to see
big
him compete at a high level. When a prospect approaches his potential, it's fun to see. And the Cubs didn't have enough that day, but it was not because of Cade Horton, who was very good in 5 2/3 innings.
The White Sox swept in Texas, but those were all close games. They actually competed and played pretty well.
They did.
They just came up short each game, so that was kind of interesting.
Well, they are more competitive. They are more lively. They are. They're 4-18 in one run games.
Well, that's a serious problem.
That is. Even if you're 500 in those games, you start to win some of those games. You figure out what's wrong, why you're not winning those games, and then you're on the road to somewhere. And it does seem like the White Sox just can't win these close games because the little things like yesterday, trying to steal second without any explanation why. Rojas.
You got your best hitter up in
Mike
Tauchman and
first and third
and one out and then all of a sudden
sack fly scores ties the game
and then that changes the at bat and then he strikes out. He did not look happy with that decision.
Tauchman
didn't seem happy.
He looked like after he struck out he was like, and I even Ozzie alluded to it in the post game.
Yes.
he looks ticked off. He looks like, what are we doing here?
I wondered the same thing. But, all in all,
that was Josh Rojas. That's a veteran, right? That he should know better.
Well, Ozzie, what was it, the Friday game? Ozzie talked about they got guys that don't belong on the field playing. And that's part of the problem.
That's part of the problem.
Yeah,
and that's one of those things where you expect more from a guy who's been in baseball for more than 5 minutes. And they have their share of those guys. How about them claiming a first baseman on Friday, sticking him into the lineup? And Noda.
Ryan Local Noda. Guy made good.
Local guy, yes.
And they sent Timoco.
Yeah.
And he homered.
I know. But
is that hilarious?
He's Mr. AAA.
I know.
He's the Sox version of Matt Mervis.
That's kind of what you conclude.
I am sorry. Yeah. It's the truth, unfortunately, because he strikes out all the time at the majors. They sent him down, and he homers again. Like, welcome back.
Tonight is a big night for baseball. Big happenings in the game of baseball. Your guy, Shohei Ohtani, back on the bump.
Back on the mound.
Isn't and that crazy?
For the Dodgers, it is crazy. 21 months after Tommy John surgery. It's and crazy. It's this was a huge weekend in MLB.
Oh.
Because of, obviously, the Ohtani news.
And huge trade.
And the huge trade. Rafael Devers.
There's some huge trades all the way around.
Yeah, I love a good blockbuster trade. But let's stick with Ohtani because I think it is a big moment tonight. I wonder if you're the Dodgers. We forget how good he was as a pitcher, perhaps. But I think they haven't. And I because my first inclination in hearing the news and the announcement was like, I wonder how that's going to affect him at the plate. I wonder if he's still going to be as good of a hitter when he goes to the mound to be a lights-out pitcher. And then I think, well, they know what they're doing. He did it before. He'll probably be that good again. But I do wonder.
I wonder, are they happy with him if he's not pitching? Did he want to pitch? I couldn't help but wonder what drove this. Was, oh, he's ready, he's back. It was always
what drove this?
Or is he the guy that wants to be on the bump?
Don't you think it's got to be part of it?
I think, well, I don't think they'd do it if he didn't want to do it. But I'm just wondering if he's the one driving this bus.
Is he calling the shots?
That's what I wonder.
They are 43-29. They have a two-game lead over the Giants, who they just beat last night, and a three-game lead over the Padres. They're in the midst of a pretty good race in the NL West. They must have concluded that they are a better team with Ohtani in the rotation or being an opener, as he will be tonight, and rather than him being a full-time hitter. I think I might be content with him being a full-time hitter.
Well, I mean, especially after an MVP.
Wouldn't you worry about diminishing his effectiveness at the plate by putting him on the mound, or is that overthinking it?
Like I said, I want to know who's driving that bus. I think that would – if it's pushed by him – I think you go along with it and you see. But if they're – and I don't think –
they've had their share of injuries in the rotation.
I know they have.
So that's why they probably have made some – they have a need that exists. But I also think if they get healthy and they've got the best rotation money can buy, I don't know that it's such a good idea to make him a two-way player.
But it's just – it's going to be curious. It's always a curiosity, and I'll be – you know, very interested to see how it works out for the guy.
Yeah. It's going to be a moment because the best player in baseball taking up or resuming a second position and not just your ordinary position.
Reminding you why he is the best player in baseball, his unbelievable versatility.
Yeah.
It's incredible that he can do both those things.
It really is. It's such a high level.
I totally agree with you.
And I just, do they bat him anywhere differently in the order? They take no different approach offensively if he's pitching. I suppose not. So he'll still be there leading off and pitching tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Shohei Ohtani. That'll be a moment. You know, that the big story you alluded to, the Dodgers were playing the Giants.
Yes.
And the Giants
now have one of the great sluggers in the game.
Well, they trade for Rafael Devers. They make the trade within an hour of the first pitch. They scratch their starting pitcher. He's part of the deal. He goes to Boston with three other players. And the big part of this deal is that the Giants pick up the entire contract.
Oh, I know.
That's a huge commitment for a guy who has, one of the best sluggers in baseball, but also identified himself as a little bit of a diva this year.
Well, I mean, I guess diva would be the word. I mean, here's the problem with that. You know, if you're Craig Breslow and this doesn't work, who's at fault? You know what I'm saying? Like, I couldn't believe the amount of vitriol was aimed at him on Twitter from Red Sox fans.
I know.
They are really not happy with the move.
Well, it isn't every day, though, Molly, that you trade somebody who has, number one, all of those offensive weapons. He's, in terms of tools, he's one of the best sluggers in baseball.
Oh, yeah.
But also, the trade was so shocking, He's got 200. It's a $254 million deal.
Yeah.
They're going to take on the entire contract 8 seasons after this one for Rafael Devers, $254.5 million. And he's having what for him is a career year so far at the plate. So you're right. If he goes there and he helps them,
yes,
say, beat the Dodgers.
Well, if they compete and they get to the play, they won. Haven't they won that deal if he is as good as he should be?
So what responsibility do you place on Devers in this situation?
Well, I mean, as we know, they benched him from third base. He was their
third
baseman. They made him DH, and they told him he was going to DH, and he pushed back on that, mm-hmm. and they told him he was going to DH. Then they had an injury at first base, and then they wanted him to play first base, and he said, no, I'm going to DH. He wouldn't let me play third base. Then they tried to get him to play third base at one point because Bregman was out for a little bit, and he said no, that they put it, like he kind of held his breath until he turned blue. You know, he kind of was – it was a childish response, but he kind of blamed them for it.
It was a petulant response he blamed on the Red Sox.
Very petulant.
And
but he's still a great player that you invested a ton of money
in. No doubt about it. I think that if you're making what he's making, wouldn't you
be a team guy?
Be a team guy? They have made you – and your talent is why you're making what you're making. But at the same time – I think that if he read the room, you'd see, well, they're trying to get better by going out and getting Alex Bregman.
Yes.
I think that if I were a team guy, I would accept what that meant to the team and do whatever was necessary. And he still did. He must have been a very difficult guy to manage, or else they would never have made this move.
Well, I wonder.
And Posey now, the aggressive Giants executive, goes out and gets somebody. And it doesn't seem like from what you read about Buster Posey, the way that he manages things, if Rafael Devers is a reluctant Giant, it's not going to go very well. He wants everybody on board, gung-ho, let's go. And maybe he will be after change of scenery, but it is one of the more unusual trades because you just don't see guys dealt at this stage of their new contracts.
You know, you don't see guys dealt at this point in the season either.
Right.
You just want it out of that. You just want it away from the guy. They had enough in Boston, but the problem is he's unbelievably productive.
He's so productive.
And I think that I don't know that was a great move for them. We'll see. We'll see how they do. But did Boston ruin their team by signing Bregman? Would the Cubs have been ruined if they had signed Bregman?
No.
Yeah.
No. I think that Bregman going to the Red Sox was turned into a negative, but not by him and not by them.
No, but
if you are a front office, they were congratulated, as they should have been, but, for going out and being proactive and investing the money in a third baseman who's an all-star third baseman.
But don't you anticipate anything that could come up? And don't you kind of cross your T's and dot your I's and make sure that that's not an issue? Don't you go to the guy and talk to him? If he's your highest paid player, aren't you including him in these decisions you're making?
Well, if he is your highest paid player, then I think you owed him the professional courtesy of telling him what your plans were. I don't know for a fact that they didn't at least communicate something to him about that. I also think that
he seemed caught unawares.
He did seem caught unawares. But I also believe that, let's say worst case scenario, they popped this surprise on him after he had signed his 250, whatever.
It's a lot of money.
Generational wealth, $250 million. Yes. Dollars. Let's leave it at that. Mully, come on. It's baseball.
You have fun at the ballpark.
You're there.
I gotcha.
You're there not for your glove at third base. You're there because you have bat will travel. And you're going to hit the ball a country mile and all those things. So, yes, just get in the batter's box and produce.
The thing that you can't help but go back to, and I don't blame any one person for this, but that team that won the World Series, what year did they win the World Series? 17, 18? It's not that long ago. There's nobody left, no starter from their starting lineup. Their regular starting lineup, they've gotten rid of everyone.
Totally turned over.
They've turned over the entire roster. you know, to you lost Mookie Betts, one of the best players in all of baseball.
They traded Mookie Betts,
that's
too.
What I'm saying.
Different regime.
I know.
But same idea. Boston fans must feel like they're tortured. But I do also think this. They've got another wave coming up. Well, they've got, you know, Roman Anthony and Christian Campbell and guys who they believe are the next winners, the next batch of winners. And to some degree, if Rafael Devers was committed to being unhappy, that has effect on the entire clubhouse. And I think it's absurd to think, well, you're better off by getting rid of one of the best left-handed power hitters in baseball. But they must believe that it's going to be, there's an element of addition by subtraction.
I guess. I'm just saying. it's crazy to me. I was like flabbergasted by that one.
Nobody saw it coming.
No.
The baseball assembled national media were like shocked.
Yeah, everybody.
And this was on, you know, it was Sunday Night Baseball, and they're like, what happened? And they're really, that took over as the main storyline, as it should have.
Incredible.
And it was incredible. And it was not the only blockbuster trade in professional sports over the weekend.
No. I mean,
Desmond Bane.
Yeah.
Who knew that guy in the NBA was as good and worth as much as he turned out to be?
I can play baseball well.
Not that Bane.
Not that Bane.
Not that Bane.
I don't do a good Bane, sadly. But
No, that was pretty good.
Yeah.
That was pretty good.
Were the Bulls in on that one?
Well, thankfully, no. Help me. Make it make sense, Brandon. Make it make sense. Desmond Bane goes from the Grizzlies to the Magic for...
KCP.
KCP.
Cole Anthony.
Yeah.
And then like four...
Four draft picks.
Unprotected
draft
first round picks.
Yeah.
I don't understand.
They got a really talented roster. Okay? I'm just saying.
Which team?
I'm talking about Orlando has like an incredibly talented. They've got young players.
Yes.
That are all. I mean,
they
now
do.
Caldwell
Pope and Cole Anthony were deemed expendable because of
because
the
of
roster.
How good that roster is.
But four unprotected first round picks. That's what I don't understand.
I don't understand
what the NBA is doing now these days.
Yeah.
You got Bridges who went for like five, and then you got Rudy Gobert went for four, and now.
Yeah.
Really, your third option on the Grizzlies go for four unprotected first-round picks is crazy.
It's crazy.
I don't get it. I don't get it unless they're doing a total makeover there. I don't get it in terms of why the Magic would be that compelled to get that one player.
I think the Magic feels like he fits their players and that they don't need first-round draft picks because they've got so many great
And then players. Also, too, the Magic are kind of one of the lowest when it comes to three-point shooting. So Bane adds that to them and probably fits Ben Carroll and Wagner, all those guys.
I get that.
Wagner. They got a good roster.
They do. And fitting the player in makes sense, but giving up what they had to give up to get him doesn't to me. And I wonder this. If Desmond Bane is worth that to the Magic, did the Bulls at least have a conversation? How much different is Desmond Bane to Coby White? They're not that different of players. If you do the comparison, and I looked at it like over the weekend, they're not that different.
Listen, Coby's really come into his own in the last year.
I know. And so you look at what they're if they're
He's
able to get that for Desmond Bane, what could the Bulls get for Coby White?
I don't think he's quite where Bane is at this point. I mean, but he's good. Coby White's good, and they should hang on to him.
You think they should hang on to him? He's going to bring him two players and four first-round draft picks, maybe not.
Well, no. I mean, if he brought that kind of a ransom, I wouldn't hang on to him. But I wonder, didn't it feel like they looked around the league and decided that's the guy that fits my group best, so we'll go get him?
Yes.
That's what it looks
like.
I gotcha. I mean, four unprotected first sounds like a ton. But if they're great young players don't get hurt, I don't think it's going to matter.
It also underscores how the last two trades we're just talking about, nobody really saw these coming.
Mm.
Devers to the Giants, nobody had.
Mm-hmm.
Bane to the Magic, I don't think that was even rumored. And all of these, you know, all of these NBA insiders didn't really have any of that indication. I wonder what the Bulls are working on, and we have no idea. I wonder what they might be working on, and we would be like caught off guard if they in fact pull off or even attempt a blockbuster trade. Be something, wouldn't it?
Oh, be something. It'd be something unbelievable, but it's not them.
You don't think so?
No. Do you?
I can't. I'm telling you, that's what I'm saying. I'm wondering, could we all be shocked one day when we come in here?
I'd love to be shocked.
Were you shocked by the Billy Donovan contract extension?
No.
No.
No. Okay. I was pleased by that because he's their best player. Isn't that sad? Did you watch the end of the U.S. Open? You didn't have to watch the whole tournament. But J.J. Spawn, they had a long rain delay. What was it, 96 minutes? He comes out at the end of that, and he hits a 64-foot, 5-inch putt, the longest putt of the entire bloody U.S. Open.
Talk about clutch.
And he wins $4.3 million with one putt.
Well, yes.
I'm just saying that was the winning.
It was great drama, and it was a great moment. But that he would have won if he had a two putt too.
Oh, I know,
but it was more dramatic. But it was him sinking it.
It's more dramatic to say it that way because I have watched friends of mine, you know, miss gimme putts because it was like they were going to win. We're going to win this foursome and our bet. And I watched a buddy of mine kind of shake a little bit as he missed
this
a putt.
This guy was fearless. It was fearless.
And this guy nailed a 64-foot, 5-inch putt. Are you kidding me?
I was watching, Molly. I know you guys are happy for me. I was watching.
I was stunned when you sent something out. I thought for sure.
Well, I sent out the text. I said something to the effect of, I doubt that it will spawn a new era of pro golfer, but good for JJ.
Spawn. That's good.
Well, it was a great effort because you know what? It made him the only golfer under par.
Only one.
The only one under par. And that's what I think was special about it. Had he two putt, he would have been even, and then he won it that way. This was the only one under par.
I think cash in that way is pretty cool.
Okay, that is true.
Honestly. I could seriously five putt that, okay?
We might have been. Those greens were crazy.
Oh, I know.
That whole course.
Unfair to golfers.
Why did they
make that
so hard? And then the weather cooperated by making it even harder.
Yeah. That was really difficult. No question. It was really something. All right. We've got the pick six next. We're going to get into all the stories of the weekend. And we'll do that next. Mullion Haw on the score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's Pick Six with Mullion Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mullion Haw starts now.
What's your take on the Cubs managing just 9 hits in 4 games versus the Pirates, including 6 in 3 games over the weekend? Is winning 3 of 4 all that matters? Did you see Chris Kempis tweet that they have averaged just 2.9 runs in the last 10 games and gone 8-2? Will this keep up?
Boy, I hope they get more runs. They scored 9 runs in those 4 games. I think they had more hits, but they only had 6 in the 3 games over the weekend. It was weird, and they were all close games. And weren't they averaging like 8 runs, just under 8, like 7.9 or something at one point? And now in this stretch, which again, they're playing 80% winning baseball, but 2.9 runs a game. It's kind of just a little bit, you know, by the hair of your chinny chin chin. It doesn't seem like it's quite enough, but it's working. And I don't know, until it doesn't work, I think you can be slightly concerned, or you can think, but they're upgrading and the level of talent is going to improve. I wonder if they win these games by scoring 2.9 runs a game against the Brewers, right? So you would like to see them, as they move into more 500 or above teams, score a few more runs and have a couple laughers. But that's just not been the case. But it's extraordinary that they've done enough to win. So you want to be careful complaining about wins. But, you know, these are nail-biting games. I mean, and it's glorious that they're winning them, but they're much closer than they used to be.
They are very close games. There's no doubt about that. I mean, winning 3 out of 4 at the end of the day is all that really matters, correct? But just going back to the loss on Friday, I mean, 0-for-10 with runners in scoring position, 9 left on base. And the bottom of the 10th was just awful on Friday. Just the approach seemed awful. I think they were annoyed with that spritzing rain that was going on the entire game. But on the flip side, it shows you how good the bullpen has been, right? I mean, you're staying in all these close games. They always have a chance, and then they end up most of the time, other than Friday, executing to win. Is it going to work? We're going to have to, you know, sit down and buckle up and see, because here come the Brewers, right? So the Brewers somehow, some way keep doing this. They took, the series from the Cardinals, so they come in here 5.5 back. This is a huge, huge series at Wrigley coming up Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Spoiler alert. It's working.
Right, it's working.
It's working. And I think that when you look at the Cubs' record and where they are after taking 3 out of 4 from the Pirates, in unorthodox fashion, I agree. 2.9 runs in the last 10 home games is a different method of winning than the team that we were saying had the best offense in baseball for most of May. But you look at only the Tigers and the Mets have a better record than the Cubs in Major League Baseball. They are comfortably atop the NL Central. It doesn't mean you get complacent, but you don't get overly critical either, because they're finding and executing different ways to win baseball games. They do it with really good defense. Nico Horner again yesterday, and you see some examples of that defense all over. Pete Crow Armstrong does something every series that makes you say, wow, and makes it look easy. And then the bullpen, I think, is the underlying strength of the last month. The ERA is still collectively under one. And guys who are coming in like Chris Flexen, goodness sakes, he has been something else, as well as the other veterans who have found new life with the Cubs, the Brad Kellers, the Drew Pomerantzes, Caleb Thielbars, guys whose names you know now who were question marks at the beginning of the season. Colin Ray did just enough yesterday. Another quality start, Dustin. Another quality start for Colin Ray. And Cade Horton was, you know, really good on Friday. The Pirates aren't that far away. They've got some good young pieces, but the Cubs did what they needed to do in winning 3 of 4. Even though they didn't score enough runs, they told you they can win in different ways, and they have done just that. I think it's just tells you how versatile this roster is.
Pick six.
Let's go back to Friday, the showdown. Skeens, Horton. The Cubs managed one meager run, but Horton matched up well with Skeens. How much did that mean to Horton and the Cubs as they consider how to handle him down the stretch?
I think that Cade Horton has arrived, and not as far as this is as good as he's going to get, or this is something that you don't worry about him. As I mean, he's arrived in Chicago, and he should probably stay here. I would think that you would want him to stay here if you're a Cub fan. That means that he's pitching consistently into the sixth inning, giving you 5 strong innings. You've got to be very careful and cautious when you're looking at his innings limits and his innings totals. I know that they're at some point likely to have to ration those innings. They haven't really been on the record and stated that unequivocally. I don't know what the plan is necessarily. But when you see Friday, that was so much fun. And yeah, maybe the weather contributed to it. Maybe it was not a hitter. It was a good day to be a pitcher because the hitters were distracted. It was kind of misty and all of those things. But Cade Horton matched Paul Skeens for 5 innings and pitched as well as the best pitcher in baseball, the best right-hander in baseball, the best young pitcher in baseball. That's not insignificant. So I think Cade Horton's got to find a spot in this rotation when all the dust settles, even after they go out and get their ace, because they're going to go out and get their ace, and then they're going to fit everyone else around it.
Well, I think when you look at it and what we've been talking about as far as Cade Horton's future, you know, he, to your point, David, he went a little bit longer than Skeens. He allowed one less hit. He allowed one less walk. And Skeens struck out 5 and Horton struck out 4. The big difference, like, jumps off the page. Horton threw 76 pitches. Skeens threw 95 pitches. So I think the idea is to keep Horton under 80 each time out. So the fact that he got 5 2/3 in under 80 pitches, that's a good thing. They're definitely not. I was worried at one point it did start coming down a little bit thicker, the rain, and I thought that, okay, like they're going to have to sit these guys, and that's going to be the end of these two guys because they're not going to get them back up after the delay. That didn't happen. But they went out right after each other, and it lived up to the hype, I thought, to the most part. I mean, there wasn't the 8 or 10 strikeouts that maybe some people had hoped, but Horton hung in there kind of the same way that Ben Brown hung in a week earlier against Skubal. Kind of similar situation.
Yeah, listen, he had a great game, no question about it, and he did very well, and he did keep pace with maybe the best right-handed pitcher in baseball, maybe the best young pitcher in baseball, and Paul Skeens. And that was, you know, really fun to see. And the Cubs lineup is a lot more dangerous than the Pittsburgh lineup. So you got to take that into account. But they still have a couple of really good players in that lineup. I don't know. I don't know how they look at the number of innings. I'm sure they're well aware of, you know, the fact that he's already pitched more innings than he has before, right? And I mean, he's he's just not, he doesn't have a ton of innings under his belt. So I think that they're using him in the way they have to use him right now. I wonder how judicious they will be as the season goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if they have like a plan for how to use him or how to preserve him over the course of the year. You know, I wonder if they plan on kind of doubling up maybe with
Ben Brown. He's 65 and a third right now.
Yes. And what I mean, he's never gotten to 100 innings. That would be unbelievable.
His high water mark is, I believe, in 2023, 88 innings.
So, okay. You're going to get 88 innings out of him, and you're going to exceed that, I would say. What's he at now? 67, did you say?
65 and a third.
Okay. So, you know, you got easily five more starts.
Oh, easily.
Easily. But I'm saying, do you have 10 more starts?
Yes. I think that's the question.
That's
like,
the question.
You've got to look at what you're expecting out of him and what you're expecting out of your team. Maybe he's the guy that goes to the bullpen when all's said and done, but I think he's in a groove right now.
I agree with you, but it is, you know, we're halfway through June.
These are similar questions that we were asking last year about Garrett Crochet.
Oh, no doubt about it. And they had to pull back on him at one point too. But
it's an ongoing conversation. It's a good one though.
Yep.
Wow, that's a good question.
Voice of John Heyman. He's with you guys at 9 a.m. Two key Cubs pitchers could be returning soon. Shota Imanaga's next start after Saturday's rehab outing will be at an affiliate, and reliever Porter Hodge is nearing his return. How different is each guy's role whenever they come back?
I don't think Shota's role changes at all. I still think he's the ace of their staff, and he's going to get the ball. And they're, I mean, you know, do they have to be wary of the number of innings that he is pitching in his first couple of starts back from the injury? Maybe. But he did, what did he go, like 65 or something? With the bullpen session, he went like 45 and then threw another 15 or 20 after the game in the bullpen. So that's kind of what he's been doing. I'm sure they'll get him another start, and then maybe he's ready to come back. I think if he's back before July, that's a win. But I think he might be back. But I don't know. I mean, I think he's going to pitch like he always pitches. I just don't know that his role has changed at all. Porter Hodge's role has changed. I think he is not really he was sort of your closer when he went down. He was as close to a closer as you had, but I think he's been surpassed by a couple of guys. I think he's a late inning guy. I think he's a maybe seventh, eighth inning guy, depending on where they're at and what kind of arm they need. But I think his role has shifted, no doubt about it. He's not the closer.
Probably not the closer, but, you know, here's what will be interesting. And it won't be the first game for sure with Hodge, but I really, again, have to give a tip of the cap to Craig Council. It's not my favorite thing to do, but I loved what he did the other day when he used Palencia in the eighth when it was like there 2-3-4.
Right.
Or maybe it was 4-5-6.
That
six.
Was the high leverage spot.
Right. But yeah. So that the question is.
It was a high leverage spot. He also got the other guy a save. You know what I mean? So
right.
you got two guys up. You did the right thing.
Both guys were
happy.
You
won the game, and both guys must have been thrilled. Right.
And I don't mean to leave anybody out, but you could end up having, like, Presley, Hodge, right? And so, like, it's going to be very interesting. This is as we've said before, this is a good problem.
Yes.
Right? This is – and I think you might see Porter Hodge tomorrow. Like, he might be back up here for the Brewers
sooner
series,
the better.
Right? Sooner the better.
But his role has changed. I mean,
yes, for sure. Right. But I guess my biggest point is who, after he gets out there a couple times at Wrigley or on the road, wherever it is for Porter Hodge, first two times they use him, like, who's going to be the high leverage? Is it Palencia until it doesn't work? Right?
you know, is it are they going to go back to Presley? Is it Hodge automatically? You know, there's a couple other good guys in the back of that bullpen too that have been pretty decent. So it's just interesting to see who the circle of trust is in that high leverage situation.
All right, let's stay with the bullpen first. When Porter Hodge comes back, if he is healthy and looking as good as he did before the injury, then you can look at this theoretically. And I think Craig Counsell doesn't have to stick to any one plan because he does have a really good feel for pushing the right buttons in the bullpen. Him and Tommy Hodge have done a terrific job. That's not even hard to say, Dustin. But Porter Hodge is, if you got a lead, it's a one-run game. They're playing a lot of one-run games. All right, he's your seventh-inning guy. Presley's your eighth-inning guy. Danny Plensa is your closer. With that stuff, that's nasty. He's your most trusted late-inning, high-leverage relief pitcher with that velocity, as long as he commands it and isn't walking too many hitters. You've got a great 7-8-9 ideal scenario. If you've got a lead after six, you bring in Hodge. Then he gives the ball to Presley. Then he gives the ball to Palencia. That's the way I think the order of the buttons you want to push. Now, Shota coming back, I think you want to be cautious and careful. I don't know what version of Shota we're going to get. We've never seen him come back from an injury. I think he probably slots in. I think Tyone has earned the right to be the ace of this staff right now. He pitched well again the other day. He likes pitching against the Pirates. He was really good on Inside the Clubhouse. And he's at the top of the rotation. You've got Tyone. You've got Boyd. You've got Shota. And then maybe you've got Horton. And what you do with Ray and Brown are interesting because you better get an ace to be named later. An ace to be named later. Atba. Whatever you want to call him. That guy is who Jed Hoyer needs to go out and seek, because then he's your top of the rotation guy and everyone else falls in behind that. When you get that guy, man, this is going to be a real good pitching staff.
I love that question.
Voice of Bruce Levine, 725. Bruce will join you guys. What was the biggest moment of the White Sox failed weekend down in Texas? Was it Aaron Savale's debut? Will Venable getting thrown out in the first inning while defending the pitcher from a horrible calls? Or Saturday's game where Tyler Alexander became the first White Sox pitcher to bat since Floyd Bannister back in 84? Or how about the Sox promoting top prospect Noah Schultz to AAA Charlotte and Bannister's son Brian responding to a story against it on Twitter?
There's a lot there.
Yeah, big weekend.
Busy weekend down in Texas. Sox come home tonight to get the Cardinals, right?
Yes.
Tuesday night.
Tuesday.
Yep, at the baseball cathedral, Ray Field. Yeah. On Saturday, hosted great. A papal mass. On Monday, they're hosting a bunch of Cardinals. Wow. That's a lot of stuff. I think the most important thing was Will Venable. Wasn't it? Going out, sticking up for Aaron Savale. Well, that was a first hitter.
There were two bad calls.
He came
charging out.
And he was mad. And I thought you saw as much emotion as you're going to see out of a manager as you could hope. And Will Venable has a quick trigger, maybe. Or he's got a switch and it was flipped. I think you'd like to see that. He's always so very calm and composed and well-spoken, and he a very smart guy. And then he loses it a little bit on an umpire who really didn't handle that situation well either. That umpire did not need to make that as bad as it was. He was yelling at Venable rather than, and Ozzie Guillen made a great point. Ozzie's had his share of kerfuffles with umps. When you have that kind of manager coming at you, you can either make it worse by yelling back and inciting him, or you can turn your back and show him some respect. I don't think the umpire showed Will Venable any respect, so they went at it, and he was out. And then, you know, the Sox lost the game, but it was a close one. I do wonder about some of the moves. But I thought that was the biggest moment of the weekend. I did find amusing how he ran out of players in the extra inning game to the point where a pitcher was batting. But they did get swept. It was a bad outcome. But again, the process was encouraging.
I think it's a combination of Sunday. It's the fact that you had Savale out on the mound and you had your manager, you know, not happy with how the weekend has gone so far, doesn't like the start, throws as much emotion as he has at the situation, and the White Sox don't respond. Like the bats didn't respond to his melting down, if you will. You know, and Savali was just okay, went four walks, though. It's not exactly what you want to have happen. But again, they at that point, you know, he had just given up two runs. They were earned. He was okay. But I think that was the biggest development, is that you didn't – but their games against overall, they didn't get destroyed. They just lost all three games. And I guess it's not surprising, but again, it goes back to they are competitive. I'm just hoping that they can come back to the rate and kind of bury the Cardinals. That's what I'm hoping.
Yeah, I would agree with you. I think there was a lot of stuff that happened over the weekend, and I think that maybe the biggest thing is, for the future anyway, is the idea that Noah Schultz was moved from AA to AAA. And, you know, it's just, you know, now he's not Grant Taylor. He's not skipping a step. But they moved him there despite the fact that his numbers aren't quite as good as they were a year ago. And there were concerns about that. And so the guy on, I think it's Sox fan Mike on Sports Mockery, wrote a story about how this is a disservice to the kid. And Brian Bannister came back at him on X and wrote, "Over the last month, we challenged him to pitch without his normal cutter usage because even though it is a higher percentage pitch, it was making his biomechanics a little too linear, leading to less late seam effects and a more compressed overall strikeout to walk ratio compared to 2024.
You don't see that very often.
You don't see that kind of transparency, clarity, whatever word you want to use.
Sensitivity.
I mean,
it's also sensitivity.
Oh, you think it was too sensitive?
No, I think it's all those things you said. I'm surprised that Brian Bannister would go to those lengths to explain it to some Twitter guy.
Well, I don't think everybody cares about the Sox, but I think that guy cares about the Sox, and I think Brian Bannister cares about the Sox. So
yes.
I can't tell if he's defending what what they're doing with a guy, or if he's trying to say, No, his numbers may appear to be worse, but they're actually, he's doing better and he's improving. And
you don't see that often, though.
You never see it. You never see it. And it makes me wonder, and I'm glad you said it the way you did. It makes me wonder, should someone tell him not to do that because it's never seen? Is that something you shouldn't do? Or is he engaging in a small community?
My opinion?
Yes.
Shouldn't do it.
Okay.
Don't do it.
I couldn't believe it when
I saw it. Don't punch down. And I know that's no disrespect to somebody out there on Twitter, but if you're an executive, I don't think you punch down.
It was super. I've never seen that.
I thought the same thing.
I need. We got to get Brian Bannister on so he can just explain it a little bit.
Or yell at us.
I'd love to. Love to hear it. But like I said, the Sox, you know, that's their best young player. That's number one guy. And he's now closing in on the major
leagues.
That's
exciting.
So I don't know if that's this year.
No, I think that's his, right?
Well, I think that's what it tells you.
In answer to your question, it's a two-part question.
Any surprise the Bulls are now working on a contract extension for Billy Donovan, given he's the only veteran coach the Knicks approached who's heading into the final year of a deal? Is Billy the best player on the Bulls?
I love the question. There's no surprise. We suggested that when they were talking about having approached him, and they said no. And it was really funny. I saw a very funny thing on Rich Eisen's show. He had Shams on, and he asked him, "You said that the Dallas Mavericks gave a firm no. What does that mean? And what's the difference between a no or a firm no?" And Sham said, "Well, there were some teams that gave like an expletive no, a blank no, and there were some owners that called and said, 'Don't mess with our guys.'" So it's fascinating to me that the only guy who would be out of contract after next year is Billy Donovan. And immediately after telling them, and I don't know how firm the no was, but after saying no to the Knicks, they then immediately decide, well, we better get him under contract because he is their best player. He had a great year last year, and they, if they hope to improve, it would be under his leadership, and he would be the guy to determine who he likes and who he doesn't like and who he can work with and who he can't. So I think they got to get better, and I don't think they get better without Billy. And I know people will hate hearing that.
He can't be their best player. With all due respect, he's been a very nice guy. Like, I love when he comes on and talks to you guys. He answers all the questions. He gives very thoughtful answers to the questions. But, like, the NBA is not – it's not a coach's league.
Right.
The NBA are – it's star players. So he should not be the face – a coach should not be the face of a franchise. Like, the coach's face is the college game. Like, you know, he is the face of the university. The Tom Izzos of the world, as an example, right? He's got a bunch of great, tough kids working really hard. Handful of them will play in the NBA. But when you think Sparty and Michigan State, you think Tom Izzo. You don't want to think Billy Donovan when you think Bulls. You want to think Modest. You want to think Kobe. You don't want to think Billy Donovan. Good for him that he's getting this extension. I get it. There's a business aspect of this, too. But as far as the face of the franchise,
yeah.
No.
Well, you're talking marketing, and I think we're talking value. And if you're talking marketing, I agree with you. You're selling something that you would like to be a superstar. The Bulls don't have a superstar. If you're the Indiana Pacers, who is more valuable to your franchise, Tyrese Haliburton or Rick Carlisle? I think that's a good debate, because without Rick Carlisle, is Tyrese Haliburton in the position to become the star that he's becoming? And I think in the Bulls situation, you're seeing just that. There's nobody on that roster that you could maybe convince me is more valuable to the organization's future than Billy Donovan is as a coach, because he's making everybody on that roster better. A tick better, a little, maybe even more than that better. And he is, to me, as valuable as anybody. No, not as. He's more valuable than maybe anybody who is a player, because you can envision them being different. That's an indictment on the Bulls roster, perhaps.
Oh, no doubt.
But it and how they put it together, it's a compliment to Billy Donovan. It's why he's got a contract extension with a record that doesn't suggest that he should have one. He does his job extremely well. Everybody knows what they're watching, and the Bulls tend to be a team that he gets more out of less. And so he's had injuries, he's had a lot of excuses, whatever the case may be. This question underscores the fact that, no, he's not a player, but he is maybe their most valuable asset in the organization, which is why he's signing up for a few more years.
And when you mention Matas, think about the job he's done with the development of Matas, because he has let everyone know, hey, you got to play both ends. You got to be good enough defensively to be on the floor so you improve in that area and then you get more playing time. And he kind of brought him along really well.
This will be a pick six. There's your ball game.
What did you think of J.J. Spawn making a 64-foot, 5-inch putt, the longest putt anyone made all week, to finish at one under par and win the U.S. Open at the Oakmont Country Club? Did you stick through it with that 90-plus minute rain delay?
Didn't catch any of the rain delay. Sorry, was out on that. Did turn it on for the final few holes, because it was fascinating to me how the course had dictated this sort of pedestrian leaderboard full of guys that you had to Google, and full of scores that everyone could, any weekend duffer could relate to. Like, oh my gosh, there's nobody under par. What is going on here? The USGA must have been thrilled. They're bursting at this. They're with pride. Now this course is so hard, nobody could get under par. And finally, with the 64.5-foot putt, J.J. Spawn did that. J.J. Spawn told a great story after. He was so gracious and humble. He was what you want your champion to be. He told the story about waking up in the morning and his daughter was sick and he had to go out and get medicine for her. And everybody could relate to that. The most relatable Father's Day story there was. And it was on Father's Day, and it was special. And then no wonder he shot a 40. His daughter was sick and he was getting her meds and he was rattled and all those things. And then the rain delay came. He changed clothes. He went out and he was a different golfer. And now he's a champion. So congratulations to him. It was great theater down the stretch. I only hope, in all honesty, that I remember in June of 2026 who the June 2025 winner of the U.S. Open was.
Yeah, not a great leaderboard, name wise. Not a great course. Very boring to look at. A lot of times when you're watching it, you're in amazement of how lovely the course is. It's just lots of traps, big greens, long holes, almost no trees. Just it wasn't great. The best part about the rain delay is they went back and showed Tiger winning a U.S. Open. And that was fun to see. And again, I wasn't grinding on it. Over my parents, in and out of the house. It's nice enough to be outside. So saw the putt. Pretty cool. I will admit I was hoping for a tie and hoping for 18 holes today. More live sports on the Mullion Haw Show.
I was watching some of it earlier in the day. I did not I was watching other sporting events, but I was on Twitter and monitoring it, and I saw when the rain delay was ending. And so I got back. I didn't go that second, but I wanted to see how it turned out. Always fun. It was a super weird tournament in many ways, obviously designed to have people struggle, and it's wild to see these great golfers struggle. And there's something about that anybody can relate to. I just think I legitimately wonder if Rory's ever going to win another major. I'll tell you who's not going to win another major is Phil Mickelson. Is he going to play many more majors? He had a terrible outing there. He's never won that tournament, right? So he doesn't have the career Grand Slam, and he looks kind of finished, frankly. It was a really fun story, and it was really interesting because J.J. Spawn got up there, and he said he was like, his story wasn't anything special. He was never a great golfer. He learned to play with his parents. He was never really one of these guys that was on these minor tours or anything like that. He played local golf, and he went to he played college golf, and then he ended up turning pro, and here he is now as a champion. And he said that in his career he just kind of took the next step and just grounded out. It was a really nice way for someone to kind of have a moment like that. It was super cool. And you mentioned the Father's Day stuff. That was great. Those were compelling stories. So that's a lot of fun. All right, we got the extra point next. Mullion Haw on the score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Opening day. At this moment, Every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Put this extra point.
It's time for the Extra Point with Mullion Haw on 670 The Score.
How in the world could the NBA, NHL both take Father's Day off in the midst of championship series? Isn't that a missed opportunity for one or both leagues to attract the biggest audience? And which game was more entertaining, Friday night's NBA final or Saturday's Stanley Cup one?
Okay, I don't really care how many people watch either final. I don't think that TV ratings have to be high for me to enjoy either the Stanley Cup final or the NBA finals. So you're going to hear all those things about TV ratings being historically low. But I really could care less, or could not care less. But still, this was a missed opportunity, though. This was a missed opportunity by both leagues. You have a built-in audience already on their couches from the U.S. Open that took forever, and went into the night. And then you're right there. One or the other could take the day off. But both makes no sense. So tonight, we've got the Pacers in OKC. And tomorrow we've got hockey. And I think they both missed an opportunity for a Father's Day audience gathered around the television sets already to get those eyeballs on those games. Now, which one was better over the weekend? Well, the Pacers were outpacered. They had the lead and then they blew it. They blew it at home. And I thought they were in Indiana and that was going to be special and all those things. Reggie Miller was there. Everybody was there. Was John Mellencamp there? I don't know. Pat McAfee probably was there. But the Pacers didn't bring their fourth quarter poise, and they were outpacered because SGA was the MVP. So I didn't like that outcome, and that game was okay. But Saturday night was worse. Friday night was bad. Saturday night was worse because Brad Marchand, with the most punchable face in hockey, he did not look 37 years old. He brings the Panthers back. Now they're on the brink of winning and celebrating tomorrow night. The cup will be in the building, and I hate those words because it looks like they're going to repeat.
Shame on somebody for not playing, and I'm going to say the shame on is probably the NHL. I think they probably could have delayed it one more day. They didn't have, and Saturday night I don't think is a great night for sports, especially in the summertime. You know, we're in June now, so Saturday nights in June and July, I don't think you're getting a huge TV audience, so I think they definitely missed the opportunity. And yeah, I got back home right around tip off of that game for the NBA finals, and I thought, wow, the Pacers are going to put the Thunder on the brink. And then SGA woke up and the Thunder woke up and they were able to steal game four.
That's
and now now the Thunder are 9-point favorites tonight.
Yeah, you know, I got to tell you, it's a wasted opportunity. It really is, because of the fact that the ratings aren't very good. You've got sort of a you've got an audience that is kind of locked in there. I get it. The golf went later, but it would have been great to turn on. You know, our baseball teams in Chicago played early. It would have been great to watch a game last night. It would have been a good time to do so as you're winding down your day. A lot of people out. A lot of people having fun. Had a great day myself, and I hope everyone else did. It's just great to be with the family and just share some time with the kids. It was wonderful. And I love those. I love both these series. I think that the hockey is the kind of thing you don't want to miss, but you know, because they're the three overtime games. But it stinks that the other two games were blowout wins for Florida.
I know.
I'm just not a fan of that team.
No.
And your,
what is it about
your
them?
Favorite player is going to win the MVP, the Conn Smythe, and I don't know. I don't know how you're
you think
gonna,
Marchand's going to be the Conn Smythe.
I think he's scoring these huge goals. He's scoring big goals, David. I'm not you know promoting it. I'm just telling you. I think it's going to happen, and I'm sure that's going to drive you nuts. You know, the most compelling thing I saw over the weekend might have been Caitlin Clark's return, where they beat a team that was unbeaten.
How'd she do?
And she knocked out. Well, she was
she
phenomenal. Did she have 38 points?
32.
She's 32.
She had 32 points.
She scored 9 points in 38 seconds.
She had
with three-pointers from, like, the logo. I mean, I'm telling
25
you.
25 in the first half.
Oh, that was absolutely unbelievable.
Yeah.
Anyway. Yeah. Okay. Here we go. We've got your calls next, 312-644-6767. Mullion Hall on the score.
Here it comes. Line drive, base hit to right. Cubs win the ball game. Brujan scores. Ian Happ walks it off as the Cubs beat the Pirates 3-2 in 10.
That is the Great Clip of the Week, brought to you by Great Clips. Go to Great Clips for your next haircut. It's gonna be great. Mully and Haw on the score, and that was a nice way to end a ball game.
Yes,
David.
A very happy Father's Day indeed.
A very happy Father's Day.
A very happy, yeah, happy Father's Day. Ian Happ coming through in the clutch. They needed that because it was one of those games that how you felt about the weekend came down to that inning. It came down to that victory. I don't think we would have come in here today feeling quite as good about the Cubs, despite their comfortable lead in the division, if they had split with the Pirates.
Oh, I guarantee you if it
they needed
if they
that
had split with the Pirates, we'd have come in here disappointed. We'd be talking a lot about why the offense is broken.
It's
there'd be talk like that.
Well, we might.
We'd play that.
There
old
might be
clip.
It might be a tad bit of overreaction to what we saw.
The
maybe
offense
just a,
is broken.
It's not. That's so 2019 or 2018. That's going way back. The offense is not broken, but it has been not functioning as high of a level as it had in previous weeks or the past 10 home games, as Chris Kompka pointed out. 2.9 runs per game. That's 3 runs a game. At home,
it's actually under 3 runs.
I'm rounding
the 2.9.
You really can't. You can't really score 0.9 of a run.
They only scored the 2.9. But they're winning these 1-run games. It is.
That's the good news.
It's great. But again, you know, I don't think there's any need for panic or any.
Nope.
Like I said, they are playing at an 80% win rate at home.
Panic should not be part of the vocabulary when you are the third best team in baseball.
But you want to remain that way.
Yes, you do.
And maybe they should have been in the Rafi Devers sweepstakes.
Dustin likes to poke. No, I don't think so. We'll talk about that, though. And Dustin likes to poke a little fun or tweak Craig Counsell a little bit. I have a strategy question. I wonder how Dustin would address when we come back.
All right. Mully and Haw, 312-644-6767 at Chicago Sports Radio, 67 of the score.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North convenience stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.